It's side four of that double album we call The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds.
The White Album. I'm Marcy Silman. Last month, King County voters said no to Proposition 1, a measure that would have raised the sales tax and implemented a new car tab fee to pay for transportation and roads. And it turns out that the way people voted depended very much on where they lived. As political consultant Benjamin Anderstone puts it, the results show the burbs versus the city. And that divide has leaders in Seattle split over the way to move forward with transportation in our region. Benjamin Anderstone joins me now. Hi, thanks for coming in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So now that Proposition 1 has failed, how do Seattle leaders think we should move forward when it comes to transportation in this county?
Well, there's a split on that subject, and it's a division between kind of two philosophies here. One of them says basically that Seattle voters were very supportive of Proposition 1. About two-thirds of them approved the proposition, while about two-thirds of voters outside of the city of Seattle rejected it. And those folks are arguing that it's about time that Seattle took control of its own transportation planning, sought funds independently, bought service from Metro Transit, while people who are supporting a more regionalist model say, we really need to get the suburbs on board, plan an integrated transit system, and move from there.
Yesterday, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray said he was opposed to a proposition that would tax Seattleites specifically to maintain the transit lines. He had also said he was going to announce a plan this week, but he pushed that announcement back. What do you expect that Mayor Murray's proposal might look like?
Yeah, one of the big concerns is that the Plan C that's been offered by some transit activists is focused on property taxes. And there are actually a lot of things coming up in Seattle that may force the city to levy more property taxes. So I think Murray is kind of looking toward a regional pool to levy funds from while watching to make sure that Seattle doesn't go over its threshold for property tax.
One of the mayor's problems with that local property tax initiative also has to do with a philosophy as well as taxing thresholds, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that Murray is very concerned about distancing these suburban voters who, as recently as 2008 in the Sound Transit measure, were actually very supportive of public transit funding. So the question for Murray is basically, how can we get these folks on board? Obviously, something in Proposition 1 distanced them, and how can we get them back on track, even though they may not be regular users of public transportation, on board for a regional solution to transit issues?
I'm talking with political consultant Benjamin Anderstone about Proposition 1 vote results, and the two visions that you've just laid out have a lot to do with that dramatic split that you portrayed so colorfully in the maps. Can you talk more specifically about the divide that you saw when it came to Proposition 1?
It was very stark this year, unusually so. You saw basically the city of Seattle, again, about two-thirds of voters supportive. And if you get outside the city quickly, you see turning to very, very antagonistic election returns. A few spots here and there, downtown Bellevue, downtown Redmond, were supportive. But you get out into places like Auburn and Enumclaw, where transit service is a little more limited, and you're seeing margins as far as 80 to 85% against. Very stark.
Why do you think that we see that split?
I think one of the big things is when you're running a transit measure, you really got to convince people that their community should invest in it, that even if they don't have much bus service in their area, that it's worth it for a regional perspective. And clearly, even though they included some roads funding in this measure, that case was just not made to voters in the more suburban areas.
We pay for a lot of things as taxpayers that don't necessarily benefit us directly. I'm thinking of school levies, for example. So what is different about transportation?
I think the main thing is that public schools are pretty ubiquitous. No matter where you live, everyone knows somebody who depends on the public school system. That's not necessarily true of transit. If you live out in Sammamish, you probably don't know anyone who depends on transit for their day-by-day commuting. So you really have to make the case that it's a solid investment. You can't just tell people that this is, you know, a crisis. You have to actually convince them that this is worth the $60 car tabs, which are hard for a lot of people to swallow, and the sales tax increase, and will actually have returns for their community. And clearly outside of Seattle, that case was just not successfully made this time.
So it's way you think the way the argument was made, the framing?
Absolutely. And I mean, that's going to drive a lot of the conversation around how we move forward from now on, is what about this plan just didn't compel voters in areas that don't have much mass transit.
Does that have to be an emotional argument?
I'm not so sure it has to be emotional, but certainly people want to see concrete returns. You know, in Seattle, buses are everywhere, and a 17% transit cut is very real to people in Seattle. While out in the more suburban communities, 17% cut doesn't sound nearly as grave and may not justify what is really a tough car tab increase for a lot of people to swallow. You really feel that when you go to the DMV and register.
You mentioned that some parts of downtown Bellevue, there were spots on Mercer Island. Mm-hmm. This is broken down by precinct, so it's pretty specific. Mm-hmm. They did vote for this. If we had a more ubiquitous transit system that really did hit all areas of the county, do you think the vote results would have been different?
It's quite possible, although even in areas with kind of commuter hour service, areas where you have rush hour buses, we saw some pretty tough margins against this. So even in areas with some transit service, they're kind of swing voters on these issues who probably commute by car themselves but may not be opposed to transit in general, were very much against this. So the question is really how to get those people back on board, people who have buses in their communities but don't depend on them day by day, and again, convince them this is worth their money and time.
Benjamin Anderstone is a political consultant with Anderstone Strategies, and he's got a great detailed map of precinct by precinct results from the Proposition 1 vote April 22nd. It's at crosscut.com. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman with Ross Reynolds.